right, guys and gals, welcome to the official first Deach and Dash podcast. We had our interview with Sadist, Steve Guru, King Guru, and the crew at Grapple Talk decided that they want to expand their Grapple Talk network. They asked me to more or less come up with a title for a show, more of like an interview, kind of, I guess, personal introspective show. We ended up running a Twitter poll. I was kind of hoping that Jordy Lee Has a Wrestling Podcast or Jill Hop was going to win, but fans decided, or the people decided, I guess, and the Deach and Dash won. So welcome to the show. Hope you guys all had a tremendous 4th of July, had a safe weekend after that. I was in St. Paul, Minnesota with the guest on this episode, Joey Avalon. We wrestled at Pro Wrestling Battleground at Wobliski's Blues Saloon. Awesome, awesome venue. We put over this place in the interview, but definitely quickly becoming one of my favorite places to wrestle. I love wrestling everywhere, but the atmosphere at Battleground is just so electric. And what's so crazy is that, you know, I'm pretty much standing room only yet again at Battleground, and that's really crazy because a lot of people don't understand necessarily how fearful as wrestlers we are of draws, of attendance. You know, you really start to freak out when, say, 10 minutes before a bell and there's empty seats. You know, it does not help your confidence as a performer. But again, standing room only, which is just insane on a beautiful, beautiful Saturday night in St. Paul. I'm sure there were things to do, but people decided to spend their money, spend their time watching a bunch of grown men fight each other in a very warm venue. So, Battleground, I absolutely, absolutely love you. Joey and I ended up winning the Battleground Tag Team titles from the Husky Heartthrob, Cody Rice, my buddy, and the Giant Griffin. Both these guys, very, very fun wrestlers. Definitely a lot of chemistry between the four of us, and we tore the house down, you know. We tore the house down, and Giant Griffin, definitely someone to keep an eye on in the next few years. I believe he's only about a year and a half in. Cody should be wrestling everywhere every single night. That guy is just entertaining, and he's dynamite, so... Yeah, so Joey Avalon, he's on the episode. I'm sure there will be some people saying, "Oh, you're just interviewing your friends." Well, also he lives 10 minutes away, so psh on that. This was a fun talk. I think he expected me to maybe be a little bit more fun. He didn't think I was going to maybe dive into some serious topics, but we get into it. We talk. We decided to have a little bit of honey whiskey as we were doing this, so if any words sound a little slurry, that's what's going on. And it was a really fun talk, so hang tight. The Joey Jet Avalon interview is coming your way next. This is Jordy Lee on Talk is Jericho. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hey, this is the real Brock Hall. You want to get your reality check? Check out Grapple Talk.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And Looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Everybody loves Nathan Gust.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
It sounds stupid coming out of my mouth.
Hey, well, we're rolling.
Are we?
Yeah, that's the secret I've learned.
You just spring it on people like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I have a start. So we're here on the inaugural Deech and Dash podcast experience presented by Bud Light.
So it becomes the first one just because you changed the name?
Yeah, I think so,
so
yeah.
You just change the name every week?
Maybe.
A premiere episode.
We got Joey Avalon. You want to be called Joey? You want to be called Core?
It does not matter in the slightest.
I'll call you Core.
Yeah, I kind of don't know.
We're drinking some honey whiskey. We'll cheers to our honey whiskey. How you doing, man?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
I'm all right.
What did we just get done doing? Where were we just now?
We went to the farmer's market. We got busted buying flowers for each other.
Yep. Tag team stuff.
We bought food. We split it.
Yep.
We bought beers. We sampled each other's.
Yep.
Tag team stuff.
Yeah.
It's normal tag team stuff.
Got these hash browns with cream cheese and jalapenos in them and bacon, I think.
Yeah, cream cheese, bacon.
All kinds
jalapenos.
Of chubby. Yeah. Well, good.
Deep fried. Just how I like it.
Well, thanks for coming on, man.
I had nothing else to do with my day.
Yeah? Because you're on vacation?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I would just be at a bar sitting by myself drinking right now.
I don't think you'd be doing that. You'd be sitting at home watching Netflix.
That Harvest episode of Park and Rec.
Park and Rec, yeah. So we're sitting down with you, Corey. Wanted you to have you on. I had Kangaroo on before. I had the young guys from Minnesota Wrestling and... It's also very convenient because you only live 10 minutes away from me, so I have to go out of my way to interview you. So we'll dabble into it and see how weird we can get.
I'll be here. I'm not going anywhere.
So you have a lovely, lovely sister and an awesome mom.
Okay.
Let's talk about your upbringing a little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay,
just because I don't necessarily know.
Unexpected start.
Yeah,
unexpected start.
Because you gotta start somewhere, right?
It's so, like my DVD biography.
Yeah.
This is disc one of my...
So where'd you grow up? What city did you grow up in?
I grew up in a mixture of Menasha and Appleton. Switched back and forth. I was born in Appleton.
Right.
I think my mom was living with my grandma at the time.
What's her name?
My mother or my grandmother?
Your grandma.
Mary.
Still with us?
Mary, not at all. Yeah.
And dad just out of the picture? Didn't want to be a dad?
No, didn't want to be a dad at all.
Want to be a dad?
Immediately just gone.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So it's you and your sister and your mom?
Yeah, I think he was like in and out until I was like 3.
Yeah?
Might have popped in when I was 8. Added me on Facebook when I was 25-ish.
Yeah. When's the last time you talked to him?
Oh, shit. I ignored the emails. Ignored the messages, so yeah, probably when I was 8.
You're 8?
Connect that to wrestling. Last time I saw him, he bought me a Brutus the Barber Beefcake Hasbro figure and like the blue ring.
Okay,
yeah. Toys R Us. Mm-hmm.
You know, you always see like the cages and stuff like that, but you never see like the old the SummerSlam blue cage. To be able to attach the ring. You remember what I was talking about? Like the big blue bars?
Yeah. Well, I think they like remade that in one of the more recent...
You don't see that in any like the Extreme Rules pay-per-views either.
Like bringing it back like the Punjabi prison?
Yeah.
That would be bad, actually.
That would be actually really, really cool. Yeah. So yeah, so you're just your sis and your tough mom. Mm-hmm. Your mom's an awesome lady.
My mom is the best.
Yeah, and that's no bullshit
in the world.
Yeah, that's
you
tough
met my
lady.
Mother on more than a few occasions.
I love Shirley.
She is the bestest.
Shirley's
still
the best.
Got her name
allegedly. You got through allegedly on there. What age does wrestling come into play?
Shit. My first wrestling memory. I remember sitting in my grandpa's room.
What's his name?
Ken. Ken, still with us. Still with us.
Salute to Ken.
Thank you for that. It's like cooking the Marines. No, Navy. Cooking the Navy. But
what do you cook?
I'm gonna just assume food.
Okay, that's fair enough. Awesome. Human food.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I don't have the specifics of what he cooked.
Fair enough.
But no, I remember watching Earthquake try to end Hulkamania.
Okay.
I think that was like 1988, 89, something in life. So I was like 4 or 5.
Okay.
And then it just...
Still got from there?
Never stopped.
Your ma surely supported or...?
She supported it until I broke my neck.
Okay.
She loved it until I broke my neck.
Did your mom and your sis... Because I think your sis had... I think she's mentioned watching wrestling with you. I think. Unless I maybe just misheard her.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No?
And like no one else in my family really really enjoyed it that much.
Okay.
It was a war to get to the TV to watch Raw and Nitro back in the day.
Well, like, so, okay. Because I kind of remember, because I just grew up with shitty basic channels. It was the same thing on Thursday nights when SmackDown came on. Mm-hmm. It'd be a war instantly to fight for. I didn't want to watch freaking Friends because, you know, just I didn't want to watch Ross anymore. I had to fight for SmackDown right away. So I feel you.
I still find it crazy like how much later you started.
I didn't start watching. I remember hearing James Butler in third grade talk, man, you should watch this wrestling Yokozuna's on. Like, that's a made up name, and I wouldn't watch Pal Power Rangers. I was like, I believe this. This makes sense to me.
Power Rangers are totally real.
I didn't have any access to it, man. If you don't have access to it, I said, thanks a lot, Stan and Jodes.
No.
Meow. Well,
my adopted dad.
Yeah. So, salute to Stan.
Stan Deutch.
Rolling in a grave. He's not dead, he's just rolling people's graves.
Thinks I'm hopeless. Thinks I'm hopeless. True.
Did you went to Appleton schools? Or you bounced around?
Shit. No, I think it was all Appleton schools. Yeah, elementary, I went to Appleton East for high school. Yeah, all the way through.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And did you find like a set group of friends that all got into wrestling? Or
I think it was still at the point where it was like really, really uncool to like wrestling.
Do you have any wrestling shirts?
None that I would wear to school.
What shirts did you have?
I'm
gonna go on a limb and say you had an HBK shirt.
I did not have an HBK shirt for like years afterwards. I had a Bret Hart shirt. I had the Razor Ramon one with the big face that says Uzi and Machismo on it. I still have that one. Bust it out from time to time. That's all I had.
Yeah?
But yeah, it was definitely not cool to wear the wrestling shirts to school.
And then decided to venture into wrestling, into the that honey whiskey is she's stiff.
It's good. It's getting watered down fast because it's hot out. But yeah, it's good shit.
I keep on watering mine down with more water, and it seems to be doing the trick. Yeah, so I decided to dabble into extracurricular wrestling.
We still call it that's what we're still calling it.
I don't know.
Somebody called it that. It was some Grapple Talk episode I listened to, or somebody
I'm
called
barely
it
involved with wrestling these days. I don't know what's called it anymore.
But no, I was a straight up yarder.
Yeah,
to the nth degree, like all of it
and
for years.
Who was that? Like anyone still bouncing around that was in that original crew or no?
Should I do that?
No. So
that's an extensive list that I will not get into. I'll fess up to it though.
They'll be on the premium channel.
We all start somewhere, and when Attitude Era was going on, backyard wrestling was super, super popular, like crazy popular.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Ketchup or mustard?
Mustard.
What kind of mustard specifically?
Straight up yellow. See all these things that me and Steve have in common, like the whiskey. like our
you're tall,
our bland yellow mustard.
Yeah, you're both
our bald heads.
Oh, I wasn't gonna at all. Why'd you do that to yourself?
Everybody knows at this point.
Fucking it's in your house, even buried alive with Joy Avalon.
I'll bury myself on your podcast. That echo was me kicking the grill, by the way.
Yeah, we're in the official at O'George's podcast studio, which is my garage. There's lots of tools around. We got some. You got some bike accessories, some things that appear to look like bikes.
My bike is in here somewhere.
Your bike is hanging there. I'm going to get it fixed.
It's been here for 3 years, bro.
I'm going to get it fixed. No, there's two bike places around. Yeah. You just got to show them some tokens.
There's a lot of my stuff here. You kind of raided my house when I moved out.
Allegedly.
And then didn't you say my neighbor caught you raiding my house when
I said
people take stuff?
Yeah, he was completely cool. The guy that you hated, he was so nice to me.
So all those years, they were probably just letting people steal stuff from my house.
Yeah.
Because they didn't care. Like, great, that's wonderful.
Well, we can get into that a little bit. You're in a nice, nice apartment complex now. Pretty good neighbors, it seems like.
Yeah, for the most part, I got lucky.
But up until a couple of years ago, you were living in a big old house in Alawes.
Yep.
Alawes, Green Bay. You want me to say it for you? You want to dabble into that?
Whatever you want, go ahead. It's your O'George's.
It was a house that you and your ex-wife. Mm-hmm. Got together. She really wanted a house.
Oh, she really wanted a house.
She wanted a house really with a big old yard.
I didn't want any of that.
We'll salute to her because, you know.
Oh, she's salute to the worst person I've ever met.
No, but, you know, the way you got to look at it, though, is if it wasn't for her, maybe a lot of things you wouldn't have found in your life. You know, I don't know. You got to look at the upside, buddy. You got to look at the upside with stuff like that.
It's a tough one, Deitch.
You gotta find the upside. You gotta find peace. You're in your early 40s now.
Way to make me feel worse about running out of time.
So it was at that very house where a young jobber in Geordie Lee lived exactly a mile and a half away, and I pasted out on my odometer.
I would walk
to your house, and I would pick you up to go to shows, or we'd meet up there, and how'd that go? What was that all about?
Apparently you just pushed yourself on me until I accepted you.
I was gonna ask, what was your house all about? But if you want to go that route,
now we've completely flipped it around, because like you would push yourself on me to hang out, and now I'm pushing myself on you to hang out.
I'm an old man. I'm basically married, going on dead.
I know you are. All my friends are engaged now.
My 12 kids are basically grown-ups now already.
You're engaged. Brock's engaged.
Salute to Brock, wherever he can be.
Brock, where are
you? Wish he was here.
Like half a mile away.
Yeah.
Come on over, Brock. We're waiting.
I was going to send him a text message, but I think he's at his data limit.
One of those track phones.
So, kind of going back to your high school days, and we all know about Emo Corey. It was brought up on the Steve podcast.
Apparently it's a bigger thing than I thought it was.
At what point, because, you know, you're pretty well-known in circles, known for your poster design making, your shirt designs. You definitely place a high emphasis on gear and looking sharp and being into yourself with it. At what point did you get into graphic design and art and stuff like that?
I've always done art stuff, like forever. I got that from my mom. She was super... super artsy.
Does she still draw or paint at all? Or?
She does a lot of craft stuff, like woodworking stuff. She like that really nice house. I've never taken to my mom's house.
I gotta see it sometime. Maybe on a Sunday.
No, she's got this really nice house in the country and does all this woodwork. And she's building the deck on her own house right now. It's crazy. Like, she's super talented in a lot of ways. But yeah, started the art stuff like for as long as I can remember.
Did you teach yourself the computer stuff or?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I taught myself. I used to draw pictures in like Microsoft Paint.
Okay. Did they actually look good in like everybody else's?
Looking back now, they look like shit. But, but yeah, when I was in high school, I used to like go in MS Paint and I would like create my own like wrestling promotion with like cartoon characters.
Were you the star, or were you just behind the scenes? Were you back of the house?
What?
you got the front of the house that does the tickets, back of the house that does the payday for the boys. Don't you know anything about fucking wrestling?
I didn't know anything about wrestling. God, I was just drawing cartoons, man.
Okay, well, fine. I'm just asking. Jeez Louise.
Way to take something cute and make it overly complicated.
Okay. So you drew wrestling designs, or
I would like draw, like I would like make up wrestlers.
Okay.
And I would like draw them in paint, and I would print them out, and I would put them in binders, and then like my nerdy ass would like write up like cards, like this one, and this
sure.
one, and then.
Did you keep the results?
Yeah, I did all of it, and then I would like draw like the finish to my made up match.
Okay.
So I'd draw the person, and I would have the people, and then I would draw the finish, and I would put that in it.
Okay.
So it was, I don't know if it's just like trying to like occupy my own
mind
with
it. You had ideas on your mind,
yeah,
you wanted to get them out.
Wrestling has like been like 80% of my mind for a majority of my life, which is sad, but cool at the same time, I guess.
Do you remember those like choose your own storybooks or whatever?
Yeah.
Where you could like, do you ever consider like making some sort of graphic, or whereas like choose your own, like at certain points of the match you could go to a different graphic,
like,
or go
like a wrestling topic type
yeah.
one? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
It might be a little past its time, but
yeah,
back then it wouldn't have been.
Fair enough. Do you remember any of the wrestlers' names that you used to draw at all? Or no?
It was, like, I had like a really small group of super nerdy friends, so I would like base my characters off my friends.
Draw what you know.
And then I was a super fucking dork in high school, so I got made fun of a lot.
Okay.
So I would make the heels people that I didn't like. I would base the characters off the people I hated in high school.
Okay.
So maybe it was just like some sort of like creative coping
sure.
mechanism for high school.
So jump ahead a little bit to when you decide to get some you know, solid training.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through that. Did you like research schools online? Did you know that there was wrestling in Green Bay?
Were
you living in Green Bay at the time?
No, I was still in Appleton. I was still
okay.
doing the yard thing in Appleton. But like, I had zero interest like at all of going past like doing the backyard stuff.
Sure.
So yeah, I didn't do any school research, but Jay Cash found the original Dojo of Pain, and he decided to go do that. So he went and did 1 week of it, and then he came back the next week like looking for people to go with him, because he was doing it by himself.
He wanted a buddy?
Yeah, so he wanted to see people to go with him, and like I don't jump at opportunities at all. Like I was like self-doubt and second guess. And
sure.
So I was like, I don't know, man. Like I don't think I want to do that.
But he's like, what's up, player? Let's get some wrestling, dog.
He was just like, it was like almost that word for word. And then he added on the end, I'll pay your first day fee.
Oh, okay.
I think I think him and another dude offered to split my first day fee. I want to say it was like $100 to try out.
And what year was that?
It was 2002.
What does that dollar amount equal to now in 2017?
It doesn't cost anything to start now.
No, I mean, I'm saying like, what would that dollar amount mean now? Like, what does is there a difference in cash? Because you know, like in 1938, like $10 mm-hmm. is now like $12 billion.
I bet wrestling money is going backwards.
Okay, okay. So, okay. Fair enough.
I bet $100 in 2002 is like $20 today.
Okay, so your first day, how was that?
The main thing I remember about my first day is not me and Cash, but me and the other guy. His name was Matt Tidbit. He was the guy who was supposed to get Merck's ice cream man gimmick.
Oh,
like, right away. It was supposed
Easter
to go on
egg.
Him, but he quit after I broke my neck because it scared the shit out of him, and he just never came back.
Never saw him again.
Never saw him again.
Fair enough.
Actually, showed up at an ACW show last year.
Well, salute to Matt.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
He's a very good guy. Where were we?
You had your first day.
First day, okay. I sidetracked myself. But yeah, like I remember the end of the first day, me and him, we spun into a Burger King in GB because old camp was in Little Suamico.
Yeah, Suamico Howard, I think, yeah.
We rolled into a Burger King up there, and I remember it hurt so bad that me and him just sat in the car, and we couldn't stop laughing. It hurt so bad.
Yeah.
Like, we were having, like, the opposite reaction to the pain that we should have because it hurt so goddamn bad.
Truthfully, I bet you were almost probably experiencing, like, a euphoric high.
Yeah, that could definitely be.
I mean, it's, like, legitimately, like, because you don't know what else to do at that point.
Like, I could sound like a fucking, like an asshole old guy, but, like, training was so much harder.
Sure.
It used to be so much harder.
And you know what? In every single class that comes through, they always say it was hard back in my day, kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
you kids had it easy.
That's the main benefit of going to Shane. I mean, like things aren't as hard as they used to be, but Shane's still going to be the guy that's gonna make you earn it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Jump. Well, we're gonna, you know, and you eventually, he had got your training underneath you. You eventually broke your neck. We're not gonna go into that at all because that's negative, kind of to a degree.
It's important.
It is important. You know,
it's,
and
it's
you
a very, very, it's a crossroads.
You healed. Eventually, you got married. Took some, you know, you went away. Mm-hmm. I've heard these stories of Corey when people thought you were dead. I know nothing about this girl. All I have is, I have two pictures on my phone of that time of you. Mm-hmm. When you had short hair.
And, yeah.
You know, but, you know, you've eventually found wrestling again, it seems like. Mm-hmm. What made you find wrestling? What year was that?
Well, I fell off the planet from, like, 2006 to 2009. Like, I was with a wife, and she didn't like any of my friends. And I was super pussy whipped, like just out of control. So yeah, I didn't talk to or see any of my friends for 3 consecutive years.
Okay.
Literally not one word. Like internet wise, phone wise, in person wise, just none of it. But yeah, eventually I just shit just got boring. Like, yeah. I got bored with my regular life, and I got bored with her. And
were you working at the cops in Bellevue?
Yeah, I was at the grocery store. So,
quick little sidebar.
Yeah, go nuts.
Green Bay residents, or really anyone in Wisconsin, if you want the prettiest girls,
oh, Bellevue cops.
Well, it's a pick and save now. I think go back to pick and save.
Well, shit.
The prettiest girls in Brown County, pick and save in Bellevue on Lineville Road. Just those
people in Bellevue. There's just beautiful people. In
cheers
Bellevue.
To them. I rarely drink Bellevue.
Cheers to beautiful Bellevue. Yeah,
so you're working at cops in Bellevue, stocking shelves, yeah. Hating your life.
Hate my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was bad. Hated.
And then did someone reach out to you? Did what happened?
I reached out originally to one of the people that ran one of the yard feds, because I didn't want to I didn't have the connections to jump right from nothing back into like any sort of indie stuff. It's like I talked to like Jason Jarry and stuff, and like did like my little stuff in like 2002 and 2003, but like I didn't have like the relationships that I needed. So I reached out to one of the yard guys, and me and good old Brandon Madrox went to a garage in Appleton on a really cold winter day, and like I bumped for the first time in 3 or 4 years.
How'd that feel?
I just remember being so cold that snot was flying out of my nose every time I hit the mat. But yeah, that led into going back out to Spencer Wrestling with good old Mark Priebs. Rest in peace. He's not dead. But I did that for a couple of years.
Just wanted to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah. Who needs to sleep? I did that for a couple of years, and eventually there's like that group of yard people, what it became, like it was me and Priebs and people, whatever. Names I'm not going to list. But
it's
we
all
didn't,
good. It's
we,
all
didn't,
good.
We didn't get along the best sometimes, and like it eventually reached a point where me and Mark were just so...
Were you dissatisfied? Were you
dissatisfied
bored?
Is a way to do it. But it was at a point where like it was pretty much just me and Mark were the only two that were like moderately trained. So we would get frustrated more than we would be satisfied with what we were doing.
And yeah, you want to be happy with it.
Yeah.
You want to be having fun.
Yes, and then I reached out to Jason and or Bruno, one of the two. I want to say it was Jason.
What year was that, 2011?
2011, summer of 2011. And yeah, we reached out to him and we were like, hey, like, we have a tag team, here's what we do.
Sure.
We're looking to get out of where we are. And he was like, okay, we have a show in Wasaki coming up. And
probably Bruno, maybe, huh?
I'm just about sure it was Jason.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I knew Bruno was in control of anything yet at that point.
Sure.
Because I was so disconnected from everything.
Fair enough.
But yeah, we rolled up to Wasaki and we picked up... We picked up the me and Mark versus Dream Police feud that we were doing out in Spencer or in now in Chilton, and literally rolled with it for a year up there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it was such a weird time of wrestling at that time, and I think if and when it's kind of looked back on, it's going to be this very, very weird transitional time, because it was like you were coming back, but you were also kind of starting. Mark was kind of starting. Then he had Bronson, who was kind of starting, but seemed like he had been around almost forever, but he wasn't at all. And then you had, like, me, Brock. All of a sudden, you had Porn Stash and Gus.
Yeah, there was the influx
and
of the
Bobby
guys.
And everyone. Tyler, Ruthie, eventually.
Bobby Patterson, rest in peace.
Yeah, you know, all these guys. And what did you struggle? Because I've asked you about this before, and we've kind of talked about it on the road, but did you struggle to find your footing? Did you not care? Did you just think that the wrestling will take care of itself?
What do you mean?
Well, like, were you ever worried that you were going to be lumped in with all of, like, me and the green guys? Or were you worried about maybe your friends from, like, the yard were going to kind of see you as, like, a traitor almost?
it was kind of frustrating when, like, me and Mark made the move and we're like, all right, we can start doing stuff now. And then, like, within, like, 3 months, all of a sudden, just, like, right behind us. I'm like, right. God damn it. We just made this move, and like now it's just everybody from there is here now, but no, like I always like to think that I don't think that I really get lumped in. I didn't think I would get lumped in from the start, because I always like to think, even though I was pretty green when I came back in 2011, I think my work usually separates me.
Yeah, and you have a presence. We talk about it all the time. You know.
I don't want to say I don't even like to put myself over. So well, I'll let you do it.
Well, good or bad, you know, you do have a presence to you, and that's, you just carry yourself in a certain way. And I will never forget my first time I laid my beady little eyes on Corey Wells.
It was in
Luxembourg, the Rendezvous. And that was my first day at camp. I'd been getting bumped around. I had. Benny Rotten was bumping me and hip tossing me like, no, hey, you know, I can't speak bad about that guy, because he was extremely nice, an extremely nice person.
I just always remember the match that he puked.
All weirdness aside, he was extremely nice to me. But yeah, so like I was taking a breather, and all of a sudden these two fucking blonde guys walk in. I didn't have my glasses on, so I was like, oh, great, there's twins. And
I'm fucking a foot and a half taller.
Yeah, I don't know. And all I see you is you jump in the ring and you do this bump and you lie there for a while. I'm like, fuck this guy. I don't think I'll ever be friends with him.
I have like a set of like pre-show, pre-match rituals I do.
I don't even know if you had gear on.
Like, laying in the ring by myself is one of them.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get in the ring and I'll just lay and I'll stare at
you. You interrupted class.
Did I really?
Yeah. You walk right into the ring.
Okay, that sounds...
Me and Brian Holly had to get our roles down.
No.
So many
RIPs on this episode. They come and they go.
Okay, so say you're on death row.
Yep.
The crime doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You're on death row.
It would be murder.
You're in a state that allows a last meal, because not every single state allows a last meal. For real, yeah.
Some shit states.
Because a lot of inmates would take advantage of the system. They would order a ton of food and not eat it, or they would just like stall or whatever. So you're on. You get your last meal.
I won't dissect your question, because that's
it's weird, right? We'll talk more about it later after the podcast. what is Corey Wells' last meal? Before he goes away.
I'm pretty fat and I like to eat everything, so it would be some combination of Taco Bell.
Okay. Now you're going to get like homemade like Mexican?
Homemade nothing. It's gonna.
What are you going to get from Taco Bell? Like double XL everything?
It would depend on my mood at the time. Like, I roll through the menu just like
you order so much food from
Taco Bell Rolodex.
You order so much food from Taco Bell that every single time it's done, the guy's only like, okay, that's $8.75. I'm like, how is that only $8.75?
I said, there's Taco Bells that know me by name, know me by vehicle.
They know your car.
They know my car.
They know your order.
So some semblance of Taco Bell.
Okay.
There'll be some fried chicken in there.
Okay.
Do dig my fried chicken.
What are you having to drink on this? Are you getting a Baja Blast straight up?
No, I think I really like a powdered iced tea.
Powdered iced tea?
That canister, like that Nestle sugary Lipton stuff.
Okay. Any dessert?
I'd probably down a box of Swiss cake rolls.
Swiss cake rolls.
Straight out of Sheboygan.
Sturgeon Bay.
Sturgeon Bay.
Shout out to the Linz brothers.
Linz brothers.
Jimmy and Fuckface. Goddamn
name. Good old Jimmy and Fuckface.
That's your last meal, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I have zero doubts about that.
I asked your guy, Cody Rice, the same question.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember all of it, but he said he wanted like a really big burger with an egg on it, ooh, some fries, and a cheesecake. Ooh. I've asked five other people this question.
Cheesecake is so iffy sometimes, though. It can be so good and so bad.
Four out of five people all finished their answer with cheesecake. I don't eat cheesecake at all.
I've had too many bad cheesecake experiences.
Press says she makes a good cheesecake.
It would have to be like a specific cheesecake from a specific place.
Oh, I think she just makes a cheesecake.
So I remember Murph back in the day. She's not going to listen to this, so I can finally say this. This cheesecake for my birthday like 5-6 years ago, and it was goddamn fucking terrible.
Yeah?
But I ate all of it.
Yeah, because you're a good oose like that.
I'm nice sometimes.
I'll drop you a 2-deach on that bad boy.
There you go. Can come through every once in a while.
On the Deach and Dash podcast.
That ruined my cheesecake views forever.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Well, she ruined fajitas for you too, didn't she?
She did.
Or because she put too many vegetables?
Oh, peppers. She used to load things with peppers.
Yeah.
It's like huge chunks of peppers. Like, not even dice them up. Just huge slices. We're on a real big tangent right now.
Yeah, you are. You're a pretty weird guy. Segue into
So I've been told.
Segue into your weirdness.
Oh, great. Here we go.
You're very particular. And I suppose you're just set in your ways, being an old man. But you're very particular about where you eat.
Yep.
Or what you eat at times. You're very particular about where you go, number two.
Yeah, there it is. That's what I was waiting for.
You think... I have this opinion on you. You think your crap is special.
No. Okay. Public bathroom anxiety is a real thing.
You just shoot it out.
That's one of the worst things that like a pro wrestler can have is a public bathroom
That's
anxiety.
The worst thing!
It's fucking
Triple
terrible.
H tears his quad on Raw. But yeah, you're right. Trying to find a place to crap in the Allstate Arena.
No, but that's the thing. Like, I won't even like judge it from the bathroom. I'll judge it from just the place and like the vibes I get from the building.
The vibes.
No, because we skipped over that gas station that one time, and then I was like, okay, I'm comfortable with the McDonald's.
That's the story I'm going to go into.
Let's go to the McDonald's.
Okay. So I'm going to set the tone. So we're driving out to the other side of the state, driving out to Eau Claire in Minnesota and whatnot. And I accidentally take an exit on a Wausau. Whatever. I don't pay attention while I'm driving. Who cares, right? Only 12 OWIs. So I'm like, okay, fuck it, right? We'll take a piss. We're halfway through Wausau. Mark Preview's going to smell us here pretty quick, so we might as well get out of town quick. So I see a gas station. It looks perfectly fine. I'm pretty sure it's a Cenex, maybe. I'm like, that's fine, right? Fucking boohoo Avalon.
Sometimes you need a key to get into the bathroom. That's part of the bathroom.
But that's fine then. That's perfectly locked. What do you think you're going to find in there?
Because then you got to fucking ask somebody for a key. Like, hey, can I have permission to shit?
No, you just say, hey, can I have a key for the bathroom?
I don't like to ask people for permission to shit.
I would have asked for you.
Because they know what you're doing.
So
they know what you're doing.
You start going, nope, there's a McDonald's up the street. And I'm fairly certain that in that time you had looked up where the McDonald's was on your phone.
Most likely.
And you're like, McDonald's up the street. I'm like, okay, fine. We get there. The parking lot's packed. There's a football game that got out, so there's two buses in the parking lot.
That was a thing.
No, it was. The parking lot was packed.
That was a thing.
So we sneak in through the back. I'm like, there you go, Magellan. Go take your highness's poop. And what do we find on the floor and on the seat of the toilet?
The floor and the seat of the McDonald's bathroom was splattered with blood.
Yeah, so... So there you go. I guarantee the crappy Cenex would have just had a moth in there to hang out with you. Instead, you're pooping where a CSI murder happened.
Yeah. I just still did it, though. I did it. Because at least I could have made you go somewhere else.
You could have,
but
maybe.
I didn't. So just take that for what it is.
I will take that for what it is. What has been your biggest personal challenge in wrestling?
Oof.
What has been the biggest obstacle to overcome? And do you think you've overcome it?
Like, actual, like, wrestling-wise? Like, in-ring or out-of-ring?
Either or.
Out-of-ring, it's definitely my lack of social skills.
Okay.
I think sometimes people think that I am aloof.
Yeah.
Or I've been told that I'm intimidating.
I get... hey, your friend Corey looks like he's stuck up.
Yeah, there's the aloof.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's just I just have shit social skills. Like I don't like to talk to people, and like I think when I'm gonna talk to people, I'm gonna say something dumb and embarrass myself.
That's what you got me for.
That's why I need you around. But yeah, like it comes across bad, and I think it takes a really long time for me to like settle in.
Yeah.
New places or with new workers. But I don't know. Eventually, it happens. But it's just it's a long, tough process.
I'll never forget, Corey, when I first started kind of hounding you. I wanted to be your green boy. I wanted to pick up your bags for you. Fall of 2012, you said to me, "I know what you're doing." I kid you not. This is what you said to me. You said, "I know what you're doing, but you're gonna have to earn it." And I showed up at your one place that one time to help you move something with a sandwich, and I think I've earned it.
No, yeah, so it takes a really long time for people to get on my good side. Like the thing that happens is like people think that I like they'll see me wrestle before they'll talk to me normally.
Sure.
And they'll think I am who I am in a wrestling ring.
Yeah.
So like I'll wrestle and I'll be like super loud and I'll screaming and I'll be like inexplicably clever sometimes, but then like that ends and I'm quiet and I don't like to talk and I like to sit by myself and I'm barely clever in the slightest. And I'm boring and I'm depressive and I'm bipolar.
You see me and Brock playing with a pool table and we're dancing on it
and then we go to Bullfrogs games and they ask us to do the inflatable bubbles and I'm like, no, I can't do that. I'll embarrass myself. But I'll run around in my underpants in a wrestling ring, but I won't do the bubbles at the baseball game.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Do you think your lack of social skills maybe not necessarily cost you bookings, but do you think that gets in the way from that kind of stuff?
I think it definitely hinders my progress. Like I won't even like I'll have too much like mental anxiety even like send out a feeler.
Okay.
Because like I won't send out the email because like I know it won't happen, but there is a possibility that if I send this out, I may get a reply that says, "Hey, you piece of shit. You fucking suck and we never want to use
you." You're lucky you didn't get that reply these days.
Yeah, is it?
That's why a lot of times if there's a place where I'm like, "Hey, me and Cork could rock this place," I don't even ask you. I just message him for it.
Yeah, that has to happen.
Yeah.
Because I'll be weird about it and ruin it for everyone.
If and when you end up ever having children, knock on wood, you'd be a good dad.
No, I definitely want to. It needs to be specific.
Do you think you're going to try to get your kids out of that? Do you think you're going to try to... Because I'll be honest with you, like my dad, early on, he said to me, like, just believe in yourself. Just have confidence. Mm-hmm. Like, just have a high self-esteem. He instilled that in me, and that's to this day why I'm kind of weird and outgoing. I unfortunately have a very high level of self-esteem. But do you think that's you're going to try to ingrain something like that in your children at all? Like to not be weird and anxious and quiet?
Like that's why it needs to be like the perfect circumstance or situation. Like that's why I freak out so much about knocking chicks up.
Because, okay.
Thanks. What's up, podcast? Because like I want to make sure that like what I lack can be made up for with the other part of it.
Okay.
I know if I raise a kid,
yin and yang.
If I raise a kid, they're gonna catch this shit from me. But I need someone to fix the rest of it.
I feel you. I'm into it. Okay, I'm just looking over my very official...
It's scribbles. Piece it's of nothing paper. But scribbles.
I know what I'm saying.
There's
I know
barely
what I'm
words
saying.
On that piece of paper.
We'll go to Pulaski 2012. I'm going to paint a picture for you. You and Mark were pretty much solidly like in the mix as like the top tag team in the area, because there wasn't, other than the Dream Police, there wasn't a ton of competition. Brune Diggity.
Three-way tag?
No, not that Pulaski. This is outdoor Pulaski.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Go ahead.
Bruno had visions of having you as his champion.
Yes. I'm going to interrupt you there because Bruno doesn't get enough credit for this. So
no, he does not. Chance.
Bruno is the first person that saw something in me to run me singles.
Correct.
All him.
Yep. And he, you know, whether he laid out the whole plan or not doesn't really matter, but basically in Pulaski is where the main event push for Joey Avalon started. Mm-hmm. And it was the outdoor show in Pulaski out on the street. And the opening contest, maybe it wasn't the opening, it doesn't really matter. Your first match, you had to beat someone to get into, what was it, the number one contenders match or get into the title match?
I had to beat a member of Blood Money.
Blood Money?
To compete for the championship in the main event.
Which consisted of Tommy, TW3, yeah. Bronson Bay,
yep.
Archer Sterling.
I rose to him at that time.
He was in it!
There was this random fat dude that wore a bandana.
Oh, that was, okay.
Travis.
I call him Bread Loaves.
Oh, he had a name. It was like T...
R-A-V-I-S.
No, I know his name was Travis.
But... his name was T-Ravis.
Okay, it was
T-Ravis.
Like, it was T-Ravis with an apostrophe. Like, T-apostrophe-Ravis. T-Ravis.
And we had a young towel boy, Jordy Lee, in the mix as Blood Money.
You were a towel boy.
You had to beat me somehow.
It didn't make any fucking sense. It's completely illogical.
And so I was scared shitless. I don't know who came up with the idea, but someone came up with the idea like, oh, just get super kicked, get pinned, fastest win ever, right? I didn't know what to do at that time. I barely knew how to bump. I could barely count on my 9 toes. I ran into basically a car from your foot to my mouth.
Oh, I lit you up.
Yeah.
I lit you up.
I didn't understand the concept at the time of putting my hand up because I'm a big Cactus Jack guy.
You didn't even turn your head.
No.
you ran like buck tooth first into my foot.
My face exploded. You beat me. And you advanced to the finals of the tournament. Do you remember what you said afterwards? Because Kevin Dagans had a bit of a flip out on Devin. And I was bleeding from my face. Do you remember what you said?
I don't.
You said... good job, sweetheart. That's what you said to me, because I didn't freak out about getting my face destroyed. So, salute to Pulaski. Everything comes full circle.
Way to be tough, Deej. Stick with it. Stick-to-itiveness.
So, I definitely got in the car a lot with you in my younger days. Still do, obviously. Just to kind of soak up the knowledge, and eventually we added kind of Brock to the mix once he decided to kind of come out of his shell. And I really think... that me and Brock's style of the trading of the moves like that and the way we build up stuff is definitely attributed to watching you and Mark. Mm-hmm. And then I definitely think when you watch Colin and Brandon, Adam Grace wrestle, they have the same exact style because they watch me and Brock do it. And now I'm seeing Ted and Jesse do the exact same style. How do you feel about that? Do you want to take credit for bringing... and I'm not saying the Young Buck style, but it kind of is. Because if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't have gotten really into PWG. I wouldn't have gotten into Mount Rushmore, all that stuff. How do you feel about that? Are you against it? Because you guys changed the game.
So honestly, like it was like when I,
you even had Shane building up falsies.
Well, it's because we would do so much and we would kill the crowds for people because we were so green and we didn't know what we were doing or what we were hurting.
Sure.
So then everybody else just had to start doing shit. But it was mostly Mark, honestly.
Yeah.
All the way from like Yard to anything else. Like I did straight up like Monday Night Raw TV style. And Mark put that on me.
Yeah.
And then I just kinda rolled with it. So like Mark always kept me ahead of the curve. Because Mark was always like in tune with like West Coast stuff.
And, yeah, he had his finger on the pulse.
And he would do the stuff with me and tell me the stuff and link me to the matches and show me the clips. So like, yeah, like I wasn't overly in tune with what was happening in like Wisconsin Indies before I came back. Because I guarantee like someone like Silas or somebody was doing something to that effect.
Probably, yeah.
Before we got back. But yeah, no, I think by being young and green and stupid and not caring that we might have inadvertently changed things.
Yeah. What's the favorite or the best best or favorite Inkjet Express tag team match? And I know, ladies and gentlemen, Corey has a bit of a growl on his face. you had to pick one, I think I might know your answer. Maybe I don't.
Well, like, I look back and watch them now, and they're fucking terrible.
Right, but there has to be a favorite.
I really liked me and Preebs versus you and Gust.
Okay.
At that Random Now show. Pulaski, me and Preebs versus the Bruisers. As Dinty and Colucci at that time versus Stash and Patterson.
I was in security for that match.
That's one of my favorites.
I saw that match come up on my time hop 2 months ago.
Are you remembering one that I'm not?
No, those two were definitely the ones I was. Well, for sure, the three way is definitely gonna be my favorite HM match.
Yeah, because like we had a really bad problem of overloading stuff,
right?
And none of it made sense. And like we would kill the match in the crowd by the time we got to the finish because we were doing so much shit.
Sure.
So we would like fuck up like three spots and hit like four of them, and none of them were good.
How do you? Oh, my neighbors are shooting off fireworks or burning.
Okay.
Or
I was like, yeah. Are they like tapping on your garage with nails? Yeah. Or?
How? And I've asked you kind of this before, but I basically forced myself onto you as like an apprentice. More or less. You didn't really have a choice.
No.
Are you okay with leading people? Because you're not really a rah-rah guy.
No.
Unless you're exactly 100% in the moment. Which I've seen you, but I see you.
I get really motivated sometimes.
Throw that Tom Brady double fist pump at me. Mm-hmm. You know, I get it. But, like, do you not want to be the leader at times in the locker room? Do you just want to do your own thing?
I think I'm there when I'm needed.
Okay.
I think if people like need me for something, they come to me for it. Like if I see something really obvious, I'll go out of my way to talk to someone.
Sure.
Or like if I think that someone like has like a good amount of potential and they're heading a good direction, like I'll like nitpick their stuff and
put your stamp on them,
or like, yeah, at least just like try to tell them what I see and like what I would do.
It's hard though because you don't always know that investment's gonna be, yeah. You know,
I'm saying like not saying that what I do is like fucking is perfect or the best or like even knowledgeable at all, but like
man, with no Shane, with like a bunch of guys kind of coming and going, like it's you, Steve, Ruff, Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the consistent, you know, or Ben to a degree, but you know,
Ben came back so good.
Oh, Ben.
Oh my god!
Salute to Ben McCoy. Yeah, fuck cheers yeah. to Ben McCoy.
Like I went out of my way like fucking like three or four times after he came back. Like he,
yeah,
lighten it up. Yeah, so good.
All you guys and even Tommy is in there too because he's been around for a very long time. Mm-hmm. You guys are.
Oh, Tommy stepped it up.
You guys are locker room leaders. Years. I mean, do you feel like sometimes you should step up more? Are you exactly fine? Do you like, because you always say I'm not ready to give back.
That's exactly what I was trying to think of.
And that's fine.
Like, yeah.
But do you think you should start giving back? Are you just going to worry about your own spot, which is absolutely fine?
I'm not protecting my spot. It's Wisconsin indie wrestling. There's not a spot to protect. But.
Okay. Some would argue against that.
Really?
I'm gunning for your spot, motherfucker. So.
You can have it. I told you like 2 days ago. You can have it. No, there's a point. There'll come a point where like I will definitely be ready to give back. But like I think like right now, like I've been debating it lately. But like right now, I still think I just have just a little bit left to do.
Yeah.
Before I can start like giving away my efforts to not me. I mean it sounds selfish, but it's the right way to do it.
Stone Cold will tell you that's right. Do you
no, it'll come.
You've wrestled pretty much everyone in Wisconsin and not in Midwest, but are there any like big matches you see in the future that you'd really like to have, maybe with a young guy? Do you want to like? I'm sure you wrestle Steve again, but is that something you want to you know look forward to? Maybe Swoggle. Is he on the list?
Well, that was supposed to happen at the UP before they shut down.
Oh, meow, 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 meow,
I really want to do. I know, like a bunch of people will say this, but I really want to do a. I really want to do a thing with Clark.
Yeah.
Before I quit, and I think it'll be like it's. I think it's like a year or two off though from happening. I think, okay. And that'll make it even better because like he's getting so good so fast.
Oh, he's awesome.
And within like 2 years, I think me versus him will be. Well, hopefully, I don't decline too much in those 2 years. But I think me versus him would be really good. I want to get that in. I said after the me versus Steve match 2 years ago that I didn't think we could do better, and then we did.
Yeah.
So like it makes me kind of want to do another one with Steve, like not right away, but like give it another 2 years and see what happens.
Do you think he's your like? So Rock had Austin, Triple H had a bunch, but you could almost say Triple H was like Mick Foley. Who is your opponent? Like, you just look at is it Steve?
It's 100% Steve. Like, there's not even competition. Like, we work off of each other so well.
Yeah.
Like, even when we're like putting shit together, and like the fun thing about me and him is like we both have the same views on like what we want to get across and present.
Yeah.
Like that match we did at ACW, like we did like 40 minutes, but I guarantee fucking 15 minutes of the match was just selling.
Yeah.
We have more fun doing like little shit like that involves like just selling and like facial expressions and shit like that than we do doing a fucking pop-up powerbomb on the apron.
Because you love taking pop-up powerbombs, don't you?
I don't know how the hell I do fucking run as a pop-up
powerbomb. Whenever you and I wrestle, you always want to do a pop-up powerbomb. You always got one in you.
So there's only that 20 minutes every 2 weeks that I'm athletic. Because every other day of the week, I can't do shit. Like, I'm not athletic at all, except for, like, 20 minutes on a Saturday.
So, you're going to say it's debatable, but in Wisconsin wrestling... And I know everyone, you know, people always have Wisconsin crap on Wisconsin, but hey,
we're getting good.
It's
we're
a state better. We live on.
We're getting better, damn it.
If you're we're looking so at guys who could contend for the title of the guy, okay, you got probably Dinty still.
Oh yeah, definitely. No doubt.
You could almost maybe throw Sean Priest as a dark horse in there.
Sean's getting really good too.
He's very, very good.
Very good.
In Oshkosh. Probably Steve,
yeah.
You.
Colucci's always money.
Colucci's always up there.
Terry.
Who do you see in the next like maybe a few years, assuming they stick with it and stay healthy? Who do you think's like gunning for that the guy spot where like they go somewhere and like it's like yep, game on, motherfucker. Like who do you think that's gonna be?
I think if the further Clark goes along, if he can like. Break out on his own a little bit and like get his own mindset and his own attitude set. Like he's gonna keep growing and like being the guy. Ted, obviously.
Yeah. Logan Lynch.
Sorry.
Logan Lunchpack, as I text him every other day.
That's a better name. You should go with
that. I make fun of him all the time because I'm like, hey, you fat piece of shit.
But no, like, yeah, he came on really fast and obviously fucking looks like a million bucks. Like, so that's something I would love to fucking have.
Yeah.
Put my head in someone else's body. God damn it. But no, Ted's gonna be fucking great. You've come along a lot in the last year.
Shut up.
Oh, shut up.
Shut up.
Fuck off. Eat shit. You know you're doing good.
Two hours ago, we were standing.
Fuck yourself. You're doing good.
We were standing in line in front of the Booyah Shed. At the Green Bay Farmers Market.
We're getting cheese curds.
Ordering cheese curds and these amazing hash browns. Shout out to Booyah Shed.
Booyah Shed.
And we were just talking about wrestling, talking about quitting.
No, that was my topic.
Yeah,
my topic was quitting.
And I was like, yeah, I don't know how many more years I want to put in. I'm not very good at wrestling.
It pissed me off immediately.
Yeah,
I got so mad right away.
I was like, shut up!
I'm like you're in your ascension
stop
right now.
It.
Like
stop
you're,
it.
Like you're starting to get shit, and you're all of a sudden just like, oh, I don't know, I'm gonna quit. Like,
all I do is
fuck you.
I'm just a pants man. Bah bah.
And if you can just be a pants man instead of a fucking 450 splash into light tubes, man. You're doing pretty good.
Who says I can't do a 450 splash?
I would love to see you try.
I would love to see you try, too.
I would love to see the practice on that one.
I'm not going to practice it.
I will get up at 8:30 a.m. and go to camp to watch you do
450. You know, I do not like to practice stuff beforehand. I just like to go for it because I'm in the moment.
Okay, do it.
I lie, cheat, and steal,
fucking,
man.
We got to shit on Saturday. Do a fucking 450. Cody will love it. Cody will love to take it.
You're like, oh, I don't know, Deech. wrapping up.
Oh.
Aw.
No.
I mean, we don't have to, but we could. I don't know.
First ever 3-hour long form Grapple Talk interview.
This ain't Grapple Talk, man. We're on the Grapple Talk Network. Nah. This is Deech and Dash. Something to Deech you with. I hope Airwolf again on Saturday asked me what a Deech is. That was precious.
That's goddamn.
That was the best thing ever.
We should just come up with a different word just to say all the time.
I've been cursing lately in text, I've been saying like what the T. I don't know what the T stands for.
People ask what T is.
Okay. What is your, it's gonna be hard to say, but
no.
Favorite match of all time. Or best match.
I usually like to keep like a top five in my head. Me and Steve from ACW.
Two months ago
was my favorite one ever. Me and Steve from 2 years ago at ACW is number two. Me and Dis in the cage at Bruce City. I'm just gonna list the five. Me and Jared from Janesville. Bruce City a couple years ago, that was really fucking good.
Jared's awesome.
Jared is so much, so easy and so much fun.
Yeah, I'll wrestle him 12 days a week.
Me and you versus Cody and Griffin from Battleground. March. That's up there.
That was a fun one.
That was like
your coming out party at Battleground.
It's so nice out there. I'm so happy you took me out there.
Listeners of the Deech and Dash podcast experience. Presented by True Green Lawn Care. Definitely, if you're in the Twin City area, if you're in Minnesota, check out Battleground because they got something very, very special brewing. They have a very fun mix. Very fun mix of guys. Buddy, what do you see out of yourself in the next few years? Just, you're going to wrestle as long as you can, as long as you want to, as long as you're having fun? What do you see yourself as?
I always kind of tell myself that if the outside of wrestling part of my life comes together, that the wrestling part will kind of fade out.
Meaning like a girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah, like real life normal stuff. Like if that were to like fall in place and start rolling, like I assume that one will start to negate the other.
Sure.
So yeah, at this point, like I was standing in line at the Booyah Shed. I think at 33 years old and I just lift and I eat whatever I want. So like I'm not a gym rat and I don't care about my diet. So like there's only
as much as I try to get you to care about your diet.
I can sometimes.
Yeah.
So unless like something happens to me that just completely like flips my motivation on that, like I don't see how much further it can go at this point.
Are you still having fun?
Oh, definitely. I just still my favorite thing to do in the world. But it's just a matter of like realizing what point you're at. And like,
sure.
I think if I keep working as hard as I do, there's like a 3% chance something might happen still.
Sure.
I think it's still there. But no, I definitely like to work into like a non-wrestling capacity and stay in it, because I don't think it's ever going to go away.
Producing.
I would love to book somewhere. Like I say it all the time. Like I would love to book somewhere.
You're still my like number one or number two guy to go to when I'm having trouble with a match. I ask you for some help, and we'll usually argue quite a bit when I ask you for help. But I always appreciate your advice, and you know, definitely, man. Like legitimately, if and when Shane's ever done training or anything like that, I think a lot of people would be very lucky to have you help him out. So
you want to take over the dojo eventually?
Do I want to take over the dojo? Dude, I want to be out of wrestling in 6 weeks.
You're gonna abandon me?
Yeah.
God damn it.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm engaged to be married. I can literally walk away at any time.
Good for you, but
we have a tentative timetable, man. Like next fall wedding. Can't beat that, right?
Can I
You won't be there.
can I be a flower boy for your wedding?
Flower boy? I don't know. I have to ask the old lady.
Oh. So. Price is going to kick me out of your wedding.
Corey, you want to plug your social media stuff?
Shit. I'm on Twitter at JoeyJetAvalon because you finally told me how to fix my hashtag because it was religiously suggestive.
Yep.
Facebook, slash JoeyJetPlane. I'm on YouTube at GB3Wrestling.
Yep.
I think that's about it. Instagram at
Corey.
Screaming and kicking.
I love how your name is Corey. it's the most Corey. Yeah, it's the most Corey fucking thing in the world.
I gotta fix that.
Oh gosh.
But yeah, that should do it.
To see you at a show somewhere.
Yeah, I got Battleground on Saturday with you, St. Yep. Paul at
Wilbilski's.
And after that, it's something on the 22nd, right? Oh, yeah, I'm in SSW in Kenosha.
Yep.
On the 22nd. I got Chris Logan. He's always a lot of fun to work with. He's a very hardworking guy. And then 29th is the big one.
Stadium Mania, you and Ben McCoy.
Yeah, me and Ben should be the climax of that feud.
The orgasm.
We got Last Man Standing, which it's probably going to hurt a lot. We're probably going to beat the shit out of each other.
All right.
Like we always do.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
There it is. Hope you guys enjoyed that talk. Hope you a little bit new perspective on my buddy Corey. You know, definitely one of my longtime friends, longtime wrestling teammates, enemies. I don't know. We wrestle each other, seems like, 45 times a year. So, yeah, it was a good talk. Hope you guys stuck through it. Hope you have a tremendous, tremendous rest of your day. Just some upcoming events. I have the ACW Summer Special at Tanner's Bar and Grill, Grill and Bar, July 22nd, Kimberly, Wisconsin. ACW always puts up a very fun show there. Come for some wrestling, and then afterwards we'll go swimming because it's warm as hell outside, and they have a outdoor pool. Weekend after that, July 29th, Stadium Mania 4, Stadium View Bar and Grill, Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is the big one. This is quite potentially one of the biggest shows of my, you know, I hate to use the word career, especially for a weekend warrior to a degree of myself, but I'm just going to say it. It's going to be cliche. I don't give a crap. It's the biggest match of my career to this date, save the first match I ever had. Myself, Colin Brooks, Young Money Colin Brooks versus the champion Adam Grace for the WPW heavyweight title main event. That one's going to be huge. So we need you guys there. We need you guys at both shows. And then weekend after that, August 5th, I'm back in St. Paul, Minnesota for the Showdown in St. Paul, Pro Wrestling Battleground. That one will definitely, just like I said in the open, will be a good one. So if you know of anyone, or if you think of anyone, or if you even want me, Gorgeous Jordy Lee, to famous up your wrestling show, your event, you can hit me up at bookjordylee@gmail.com. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, it's at ojords, OHJORDZ. Instagram as well as ojords. And on Facebook, I have a Facebook page, Gorgeous Jordy Lee. I'm always trying to keep that bad boy up, always trying to keep that bad boy active. I'd give out my number, but who knows? Maybe some of you are creepy. That's all right. I like being creepy myself, so that's it. Have a great week. I will see you when I see you.